You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman, as always, from the coast of this wonderful show. And so, on today's show, I'm going to be breaking down my three biggest things to watch for as we head into the Pacers preseason, which is only just days away. If you're catching this podcast on the Thursday that it's going to post, the Pacers preseason will start on Saturday at 7 o'clock against Cleveland. They'll play Monday at 6 o'clock in Cleveland, and then the following Friday at home against the 76ers. Just three games in a week. Not a normal preseason, obviously, because of COVID and whatnot. And we're now, as I'm recording this, 2 weeks exactly away from the start of the season on December 23rd. So those three games will serve as sort of an opportunity to see the new coaches, to see how he wants to play his rotation, and more importantly, I think, to see some of the younger players. Those are kind of the three things I expect to see. Fortunately for the Pacers, they're bringing back the same roster and whatnot, so there's not a lot of concern there. But I think the first thing and where I want to start is with coaching, and I think that's what that's what I'm looking for the most in the preseason. You know, I don't think we'll get a ton of, like, interesting sets, whatnot, but we'll be able to get some idea of what the Pacers might do, right? There might be a little higher tempo, a little more ball movement, whatever it is. We'll start to see some of that in action. I mean, obviously, we're only, what, they open training camp on December 1st range, right? So Bjorkren has basically 11 days to get the guys ready to run his system. I guess they're going to run kind of a modified system and try to ease into it or whatnot. You just don't have the time to, like, fully integrate to a whole new style. I think he'll play to some of the guys' strengths that he already knows and whatnot. But I do think we'll see a little bit change of pace. You know, the thing you see in the preseason, too, it'll be hard to discern what is real and what is just kind of, I'd call it almost laziness, is we'll see a lot of three-point shooting, a lot of kind of crazy, not a lot of driving to the rim, let's say. You know, a lot of, like, kind of, like, pull-up shots and just crazy kind of things that you can do that don't cause you to take a lot of contact. Because, honestly, the preseason, that's kind of the goal, right, is to not get hurt and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, I think the coaching thing I'm looking for, and we saw this when they played in India, you at least got an idea of how the Pacers wanted to use certain players, right? So, like, T.J. Warren was a huge beneficiary of India, and you saw kind of how they wanted to use him in different little actions and whatnot, allow him to kind of put the ball in his hands and score and become kind of their bailout guy and whatnot. And it took Warren still a little while to adjust to McMillan's system, even their season. But in the game, at least the first game, I think he had 30 something points and looked pretty good. I believe he hit the game winner in that game as well. So you do see a little bit of things, right? Like, I think, you know, and if you look back at it, right, in hindsight, the T.J. Warren stuff in the preseason actually was a precursor for what he was able to do. Now, maybe, you know, maybe it's not necessarily like one equals one, right? Like, you saw Jakar play really well, and he necessarily didn't have a great year. I mean, he didn't play a ton, but, like, there is some interesting correlation between, like, just guys who play okay in the preseason or kind of spark or catch your eye who then start doing that in the regular season. The other thing I want to see in terms of, like, coaching is just the rotations. Who plays when? Do they play, you know? I mean, because the thing about it too, right, so there hasn't been a lot of training camp, which means there hasn't been a lot of practice, which means this is kind of an opportunity to keep practicing, right, to get more practice in. And like I said, I think they'll sort of ease into the system. I think they'll play very, not like similar McMillan, but play a very kind of basic or, traditional way they have played in the past, just because that will work easier. Like, you see a lot of action through Sabonis and Oladipo playing off each other, and Sabonis and Brogdon. And, you know, I don't think, you know, I know Berkerson wants to play fast and fun. I just don't know how quickly he'll be able to implement that kind of style. But I do think in the opening we'll see some of the rotations. Maybe if, you know, in one of the games they'll play kind of a first half of them rotations. Maybe if we get lucky, right, that doesn't always happen, but it very well could this time. There's the injury concerns and whatnot, so you don't want to push guys too much, but maybe we'll get, you know, we'll start to see a little bit of the staggering of Sabonis and Turner and what he wants to see, right? Maybe we'll see, you know, a really early pull for one of those guys to kind of get them both bench minutes and minutes apart from each other. Or maybe we see a lot of minutes them together because he just wants to roll with the five and see what he has, right? I mean, there's two thoughts of mine here, right? One is you want to practice for the regular season. The other one is just play things you might not want to play, but just see if they work for in this weird environment, right? The weird preseason environment, right? So like maybe it's, you know, you decide you want to play, you know, 10 straight minutes of Sabonis and turn together with the starting five and see if it can work. And maybe it doesn't work and kind of get an idea. Like I said, my thing is I would never read too much into preseason. I think it's just all kind of who knows, right? It's such a crapshoot and such a like a unpredictable, and you don't want to play guys and guys don't want to get hurt, and that's like the whole goal basically. But you know, that'll be interesting. I think the other one to adjust for just the players and kind of coaching is how do you coach, you know, they coach in the bubbles and whatnot, so they have been in an environment without fans, but I do think being in an empty stadium is still a little bit different, right? Remember in the bubble they were playing in kind of you know, almost like a rec gym style, right? I mean, they had basically, there was like, you know, rows for players, but like you didn't have empty rows for fans, you know, going up, you know, thousands of feet, right? It is sort of different to play in an empty stadium, even if they have the music right and have the lighting right, whatnot. It will definitely feel weirder for these players than playing in, you know, a rec gym in Orlando as essentially. So coaching wise, I don't know how that affects things, right? I mean, I know coaches before, you could hear them call, you know, both can hear them call plays and whatnot. You know, will the benches be a little farther apart now because of that? And will you have the ability, you know, how will they space out the players and whatnot? I mean, those are all things that are probably not that important in terms of, you know, impacting the game. But there is something, especially working, you know, first-time head coach or NBA head coach, how will he adjust to being able having to call out plays? And will be some secret, you know, will be more signs, stuff like that? I don't know. I mean, I think we'll kind of see how that plays out, and just how it affects the players, right? I mean, it's different when you're shooting a ball and you don't, you know, you just have a wall versus when you see just a sea of empty seats, right? It is different, and it will affect things, you know. But then also maybe some benefits in terms of players being able to hear each other a little better. So, you know, they have got some of this in the bubble, so I don't think it's like going to be a complete shock, you know, complete night and day. I think there's a lot of in the NFL. Kind of first started a lot of the players those first couple weeks, especially the quarterbacks and the defenses were like, it was a big adjustment, right? Because they were able to hear the play calls, and that's a huge thing in football, right? If the crowd noise puts a huge effect in football because it can either help or hurt a quarterback if they're at home on the road. NBA is not quite the same, and they also got a little bit of practice, but it will be different being in a bigger stadium empty, right? It will feel different for players. And so, yeah, I mean, I want to see how, you know, Bjorkgren does with calling out plays or whatnot. I'm pushing that, but Bjorkgren does with calling out plays and whatnot, or, you know, how that affects, you know, being in an empty stadium and whatnot for him. Because, like I said, even though he, you know, this is his first time coaching his environment for Cleveland, it'll be their first time coaching his environment because they didn't make the bubble last year. So it will be different, I know. And other teams might already kind of know their plan, but it'll be different for him. So I'm interested to see in that. And then for the Pacers, now that they're all kind of with Sabonis coming back and whatnot, it'll be his first time playing in a stadium like this. Will that benefit him? Maybe. I mean, I think, you know, for Warren, I actually think playing kind of in an empty stadium helped him maybe focus in a little bit more, just because he was able to kind of feel like he was playing just, you know, at his local, you know, gym or whatnot. So it might have that same effect. And then, you know, the COVID protocols and how that affects, right? Are, you know, our guys, you know, based on the travel, whatnot, is it going to be hard? You know, they're going to have less time to practice. They're going to, you know, between games, are they going to be, you know, forced into quarantine in certain spots, or, you know, are they, you know, not able to go out in the city, so are they stuck in their hotel rooms? Like, it does change the atmosphere on the road, even in a city like Cleveland, which, you know, isn't like nightlife kingdom, right? It isn't Miami, it's in LA, but like there is something like that. And I think the preseason will be interesting to see how players look after kind of a whole kind of different regimen and what they're used to, and really different than the bubble in some ways as well. But the number one thing I'm looking at, and that is just the young guys, right? And that's what I want to talk about next, right? The young players are like the ones who will get all the minutes. The Pacers don't have a ton of them, right? They got Cassius Stanley, Aaron Holiday, Goga, Edmund Sumner, and whatever guys they bring in on. Well, they have brought in Nathan Tenka, whatever guys decided to play. But I'm more excited to see, you know, Cassius Stanley will probably play a decent amount of time. You get some Jakar minutes. I would hope Goga gets a lot of minutes just because he might not play out this regular season. Aaron Holiday, I could see it going both ways, right? You could decide to play Holiday for 15, 20, or just 5 or 10 if you want to get him rest. But I think it'll be interesting to see, like, if they throw out some kind of crazy young lineup, right? Like, it used to be the past, it'd be TJ Leaf, but like the lineup I'm thinking of right now could be like Aaron Holiday, Sumner, Cassius Stanley, Goga, and Jakar, right? That could be a lineup that you'll never see during the season, but you could see in this preseason. It might be interesting to watch and see what they can do, right? It's really hard to like take away a lot of stuff from the preseason, but I think, you know, seeing Goga out there again, seeing, you know, I'm interested to see how big Goga got in terms of like muscle wise, right? The biggest development players make is usually from year 1 to 2 to 2 to 3. In that range, they go from being, you know, 19 year olds to 20 year olds and kind of their bodies develop in a different way. I'm interested to see if Goga looking a little stronger, a little more cut, maybe is the right word. And then I want to see, you know, what does that translate to, right? Is he more agile around the rim? Is he able to move a little faster around screens? Like for me, that's kind of the thing I'm looking for to Goga is just like, is his body type developing in a way where like he's going to be a good rotation player, you know, in a year or two, which is what you expect? Or is he going the TJ Leaf way where like he bulks up and but then he screws up a shot and whatever and then gets all screwed up, right? Like Leaf got almost too big too fast and then he couldn't really get the timing for his three-point shot down. With Stanley, I mean, we heard about his athleticism and I'd love to see what he can do out there, right? We'll just get a taste of him, you know, his athletic freak. I'm sure he'll have some confounding moments where he holds the ball too long or can't, you know, whatever, can't make the right pass. But it'd be interesting to see if he can have a nice little dunk out there, make a couple athletic plays just to see what the Pacers have in him, right? And then, you know, I think I'd love to see Jakar, especially in a close game, right? Last year, he played really well in both those Kings games. He hit, like, I think, like three threes in one of the Kings games. I just want to see Jakar out there doing Jakar things, having fun, because even, you know, he won't get a ton of time this regular season probably, but he's an enjoyable player to watch. I know he isn't fantastic, but, you know, when he played in the bubble last year, he did what the Pacers needed him to do. You know, he can make a couple plays here or there, score 6 or 8 points on 3 or 4 shooting. I just like to watch him out there because he's just kind of a fun player. So, it'll be fun to watch him get, you know, 20, 30 minutes. And then, you know, I would like to see him play some Aaron Holland Sumner together, honestly, just because that might be the future point guard backcourt, right, depending where things go. But there's a chance that could be the Pacers, you know, future. One of those could be a starter someday or be their future, you know, sixth and seventh man in the guard spots. And I don't know, I want to see how they play with each other, right? Because they're both similar-ish players, right? They're both kind of pseudo two guards. Aaron Holiday is more of a point guard, but isn't quite there. And Sumner is kind of a two, more, even maybe, well, I would call him just a solid two, right? He's not really going to play three. And he probably isn't good enough with the ball to play point guard and whatnot. But if they can play off each other, it'd be fun to watch. They're two of, you know, and throw Stanley in that, you got three of the most athletic players on the Pacers outside of, you know, Victor Oladipo when he's healthy. And you got crazy speed and crazy jumping ability between those three guys. So, I mean, that might be fun to watch. It's just, you know, can you throw the athleticism team out there? And then, you know, with some of the starters and whatnot, because I don't think they're going to play a ton, but, you know, it'll be good to see if there's some early connection between Vic and Sabonis. They haven't played together in 9 months now, right? And they were probably, you know, of like, if you pick two guys in the Pacers who just knew each other the best, I would have said Vic and Sabonis just because they played together so long. They played together in Oklahoma City for a year, then in Indiana for another two. And so they haven't really had like a, you know, a solid run together since March of last year. And it was really not that much. But with Vic being now 100%, Sabonis being 100%, I would love to see if there's some early connections we see between those two, whether it's, a little dribble handoff here or some kind of pick and roll play or something. Because I do think those two like playing with each other. They've always gushed on each other. So it'll be fun to see if you see a little connection early on. And then should just see how Turner does. I mean, you know, I think the regular season is going to be a real test for him, but in the preseason, we'll at least give him effort, right? And that's a huge test, right? That's a big thing about the preseason. It's just effort. It's our guys trying hard because that will be a sign of maybe something the regular season. If they're, you know, half-assing it, I guess, then it might be a bad sign for how the year's going to go. I'm certainly concerned about the Pacers having all these players who either were on the trade block or one out or whatnot, and hopefully they can all be professionals and whatnot, but I am concerned that, like, a little fire is brewing and all it needs is a little kindling and a whole thing will blow up in their face and they'll end up, you know, not even being a top, you know, 10 team in the East by the end of the year. I am concerned about that a little bit, but I'm not sure we're going to get that all from the preseason or whatnot, but I do think we can get some kind of information just a little bit here or there, whether it's, you know, oh, Goga looks really solid and he should play some minutes, or the Turner's a bonus thing might work a little bit. It worked well here. They don't play, you know, we'll see how many minutes they play in the Philly game because that's their best team. The Cavs are not a very good basketball team, so it doesn't really matter. But we'll see what they can do. I mean, I'm interested to does Bjorkman call some interesting play that we haven't seen? Are they playing a little faster? Like, they're all little tidbits. You really won't get a feel for this team. I think about 10 to 15 games in, you get a real feel for how good this team is going to be or whatnot. But the preseason is kind of a good little show, right? You can get a little taste of what's to come for the season coming up. So I'm excited for it. I'm excited for basketball. Once again, I have missed there not being basketball. You know, it's only been about 2 or 3 months. I just wish there was basketball on 24/7, frankly, every day. So we are going to have a podcast tomorrow across our podcast with Locked On Cavs, previewing this preseason game exactly with the Cavs the next two games and whatnot. Tony will do that podcast with Chris Manning, and I'm blanking on who is the other co-host of that show. I apologize for not having the name in front of me. As always, you can follow this podcast at Locked On Pacers, me at FreeManM5, and Tony at T East MBA. That is all for his Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll see you guys again tomorrow.